may rob us of initiative. But the sad thing is that you cannot have that without understanding this. And unless you go through this, you cannot appreciate that. That is why God made the Israelites went through 400 years of oppression before they tasted nationhood. Why do you think God made them take the rough road? God says to humble them. And in the end, when they came out, they will understand that God is their master. And God can provide everything for them. But the sad thing is that sometimes we are neither here nor there. And modern Christianity has emphasized, I believe, too much on the capitalistic Christianity. We have our Christian rights. We have our rights before God. We have our privileges of salvation Jesus bought for us. So that sometimes you ask some Christians to spend more time in God in prayer. They will tell you, why should I pray? Jesus has done everything for me. This is their attitude. Why should I pray when Jesus has paid a price for me? This is what I call the extreme Christianity that is producing. Too much of teaching on our rights and on all these things. And they don't realize Jesus owns you. If He owns your property, your possessions, your time, your strength, He has a right to get you up at 3 a.m. and say, spend some time in prayer. Because your time is not your time. He has a right to say, sell all your goods and give it to the poor. Because He is the Lord. He owns it. So we forgot that He owns us. That He can at any time command us to do anything He wants. Of course, He is not a taskmaster. He says, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Because He loves us. But that doesn't remove us from the fact just because our Master is kind, gentle, considerate, looks after us, takes care of us, it doesn't mean that we begin to behave like rebels and take Him for granted. But that's exactly what Christians have done to Jesus. We talk as if we own ourselves. We talk as if we own our time. We talk as if we own all that we own. And we forgot, Jesus owns everything. If He is Lord. So how will we talk? We will talk differently. When whatever is in your hands, you say, these are not mine. These are Jesus, and I will use it for whatever Jesus tells me to use it. Your time is not your time, but it's God's time, and He will use it in any way that Jesus allows you to use it. Of course, He will definitely give you some free time. He's a kind master. But we need more thinking in this area. It's called humbling ourselves before God. And the third area of humbling ourselves has to do with waiting on Him. What does a slave or servant do when they are free? They will stand by the master and wait on the master. They will wait for the next command. They will wait for the next instruction. When that is completed, they will come back again. Then the master sends them for a task or mission. They will finish it and they will come back again. And why many people don't enter that door? Because behind the word wait is also a meaning of the word serve. Servanthood, servitude. Although the Hebrew word for wait has a meaning of being entwined together with him, the Greek word for wait has a meaning of servitude. To serve, to wait on him. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, why many people don't enter the door? That we need to wait on God. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that door is so precious. It says here in verse 9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. If you check the cross-reference of 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, you will notice that it's taken all the way back from Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. And the word love, those who love him, is replaced by the word those who wait on him. Because loving him and waiting on him are related. And so the third point in humbling ourselves before God is to recognize that Jesus is Lord of our possession, Lord of our time, Lord of our strength, and the most important thing, he is Lord of our free will. You surrender your will to him. You surrender your rights to him. A slave chooses. A slave has no rights, but a bond slave chooses to absolve himself of all rights in order to serve a master he loves. The Bible tells us that about bond slave and slave, there's a difference. A bond slave is a slave who has a chance to be free, but who loves the master so much that says, I will serve you the rest of my life. And in the Old Testament, they would take something and they would drill a hole in his earlobe as a sign that he's now a bond slave. Paul calls himself a bond slave, which means that one who freely, willingly chooses to give up all your rights to Jesus. So the third point on humbling ourselves means that we have given up all our rights and we have chosen to become a born slave. And when you think about that, I would think that in the body of Christ, I mean overall in the world, humility is getting very scarce. Almost in every magazine, Christian magazine, pride shines out. Sometimes pride comes out in testimonies. Sometimes pride comes out in so many ways. And then we realize that when we do or say anything, there is a difference. You could tell whether one has been through the cross or one has come by the broad way. The narrow way of the cross or the broad way that everyone takes. Now close with the last and final vision. And I saw this vision of this Christian. And that was the last one. I believe it relates to the whole message. And this Christian desires in this vision, it was a very nice scenic place. And this Christian desired to move out to a very lovely place, like a plateau of a mountain. But in this scenario, try as he might, this Christian could not, because there were many, many dangerous places that lead. The path that leads to this place goes by many, many dangerous looking places and parts where you could fall off. But there was another path wide that leads away from the place, but this Christian desires to go in that direction. And in the end, try as he might, he could not. And then three things came by. One was the enemy in disguise. And he offered to this Christian a shortcut. And as the Christian was thinking, the second came by, and this represent humans who offer another way, but not a shortcut. And then third was an angel of God sent in a form that looks like a human that says that if you will obey me, I will go with you. So this Christian had to choose between the devil, the world, and God. And there was a condition if the person wanted to choose the last man. The angel of God sent in the form of a man to guide this man to the place. And that was that this man would give up all his rights, all his choices, and be subjected to every command, every demand, and every task that this angel of God bring forth to this person. The devil's offer, which came in the form of a first man, did not lay any conditions, did not give any difficulties. It was like a shortcut, and it was very tempting. The second one was from the world, and it looks like God, but yet it's not God, because it's actually of the enemy. The first one and the third one was clear, but the second one was not clear. And in the end, because this Christian found that it was easier to understand the second man, he chose the second road. Because he said, I think I can understand everything. Because for the third man, he has to give up everything. The first looks too easy, too good to be true. But the second has enough challenges to make it look real. But sadly, it led further and further down. And so, in any of these four visions, if it's you that the Lord is speaking about, the answer is the same. Humble yourselves before God. And on the last vision, wherever we are in life, whatever place we are in, whatever situations you have come through, whatever decisions, good or bad, you have made in your life.